and welcome back to A1 Talks, the affiliate and partner marketing podcast. I'm Samantha Shearer, global marketing strategist here at A1. With Rob still out on paternity leave, I'm filling in for him this month. But don't worry, as Lee shared on our last episode, Rob's soothing voice will be back in July. So while I'm no Rob, thanks for joining my podcast hosting debut. Today, we'll be discussing MarTech, or marketing technology, which is revolutionizing the digital landscape and now an essential part of modern strategies. But why is MarTech so popular? And why should we care as digital marketers? That's exactly what we're going to uncover. So whether you're a seasoned professional looking to stay ahead of the curve, or someone new to the field wanting to understand MarTech better, this episode of A1 Talks is for you. So to lead our exploration, I'd like to introduce you to Scott Brinker. Scott's been analyzing marketing technology and its impact for more than a decade as the editor of chiefmartech.com. He also serves as VP Platform Ecosystem at HubSpot, helping to grow and nurture the company's community of technology partners. And he's authored the best-selling book, Hacking Marketing, about adapting software management practices to marketing teams. So we're definitely in good hands. Hi, Scott. Welcome.
Hi. Great to be here with you.
Great to have you. Ready to get started?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's do it. So before you give our listeners a crash course on all things MarTech, I wanted to actually kick things off by talking about you and your career to date. Give us a little backstory on how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So actually, my background was as a software engineer and an entrepreneur. And in the early days of the web was helping build online applications for marketers, which is where I got fascinated by all the wonderful, amazing things that marketers want to do on the web. But also recognizing that at the time there was quite a gap between like the world of marketing and, you know, what they would talk about, what they were driven by, you know, the way they thought about the world, and the world of software and IT and how they were driven. It was just like this opposite ends of the spectrum. Yet at the same time, it was so clear that the future of where business was going is these two worlds were going to collide and entangle, and they certainly have. Over the past 15 years here, I built my own software service company that created a product for marketers. After we built and sold that company, I joined HubSpot as their VP of Platform Ecosystem to help HubSpot integrate better with all these other amazing MarTech and sales tech tools out there. And then for the past 15 years, as you know, as you mentioned, I've been writing the Chief MarTech blog to try and help capture some of these, the dynamics of what's happening at this intersection. And so it's been great fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun and like you've been very busy, which is good.
Never a dull moment.
No, never, I'm sure. So let's start with something easy. I obviously just gave my own spiel, but would love to hear from you. What is MarTech and what does it mean in simple terms?
Yeah, well, I mean, the simplest answer to that is MarTech is short for marketing technology, and that's essentially any technology that marketers are using to get their job done. You know, and at first, you know, depending on your experience, you might be like, well, I don't know, do marketers really use a lot of technology? But as you start to peel it back, you're like, well, we've got all the different tools out there for like, you know, advertising and how we manage that. We've got tools for like email and marketing automation. There's all the things we do with our website, whether it's like our CMS or DXP, maybe there's social media management. We've got like what we're doing with content. Oh yeah, there's CRM. Do we have data? Do we have a customer data plan? You know, and all of a sudden you start to inventory it and you're like, hey, wait, actually, yeah, we do use a lot of technology in marketing, you know, and it's technology that we use both internally, you know, for how we produce the work we do, how we measure it and manage it, but also just a tremendous amount of technology that becomes the channel for how we engage with our audience and our customers.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. At AWIN, you know, we have a lot of tools that we use both internally and for our own marketing efforts. And every once in a while, there's a joke that someone has lost track of the tool or whatever we're supposed to be using today. So can really relate to that. You did a little bit with your last answer, but for those that maybe don't work in marketing, can you give us some examples of how MarTech is used in our everyday lives?
Yeah. I mean, again, like probably the most common applications in marketing are things like our CMS or our DXP, which we use to build our website, publish the content on it. Depending on the nature of your business, you might have a platform there that's not just publishing your website, but it's also feeding content into mobile apps and things like that. So typically, yeah, content marketing does a lot of work with that primary platform. You know, from folks more on like the demand generation side or like customer lifecycle side, you very often have like a marketing automation platform or a campaign management platform, you know, where you're keeping track of, you know, on one hand, like all the different contacts in your marketing universe, but also the different ways you engage with them, whether it's running these episodic campaigns or whether they become these always on programs. Very often, you know, these past couple years, we've started talking a lot about the idea of mapping the customer journey. What are the different ways people find us? As they find us and they first start to engage with us, how do we nurture them along that journey? And so you're usually using like a marketing automation or a campaign management tool to help orchestrate that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, it's easy to forget sometimes that we're using MarTech all the time. So, you know,
the more it goes into the background, actually, I think the better. But yes.
Yeah, it's definitely true. Like the more you forget about it, the less overwhelming it is. But it really is there in kind of every minute of every day, especially, you know, while we're diving into work stuff. But that's great. So I think digging a little bit deeper, you know, you just mentioned some of the major changes or shifts you've noticed or kind of updates over the last few years, particularly on the demand gen side. But what major shifts, if any, are you anticipating that could be coming over the next few years?
Yeah, there's a lot of change happening. It's like a very interesting time right now in marketing technology. I mean, certainly the a trend of the day that cannot be ignored is over these past few months, the rise of generative AI tools and capabilities, which are, you know, on one hand being embedded into all of these different MarTech tools. So you're ending up with these nice natural language interfaces where instead of having to, you know, like navigate through a whole series of point and click menus to get something done in a tool, you just tell the tool what it is you want. Hey, listen, I want a report of what were our top, you know, geos, you know, for sales in Q4, you know, and the generative AI engine translates that into the work to be done. And it comes back and says, okay, here's your report. Wow, that was so easy. Could you add the relative like population of those countries? Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Oh, this is great. Can you email this to me, you know, every month? Sure, no problem. It's really cool. It's you know, kind of, it's a little science fiction-y, and in some ways, you know, still pretty early. But like this ability to use these generative AI tools to become our assistants and just being able to increase the speed at which we get things done is really exciting. At the same time, you know, the generative AI technologies are also disrupting how customers find and engage us. I mean, we're already seeing this happening here with like Google and Bing, where the traditional search engine marketing that, you know, we've spent the past, you know, couple decades like optimizing, you know, how we do that in, you know, digital marketing. It's changing, you know, it's no longer just the list of the 10 blue links, you know, but increasingly like, okay, these agents that are going to create summaries for topics that are relevant to our business, are we making sure that the data, you know, that we need to feed into those engines is actually being consumed? It's like a new hierarchy there that's evolving. There's like these interesting things happening with plugins for stuff like ChatGPT and are supposedly coming to both Bing and Google Search, where, okay, you know, these plugins, the generative AI engine not only will like create these like nice summaries of things for you, but it might have the ability to do an action on your behalf. Like a great example would be like, you know, for travel, there are these plugins for things like Expedia and Kayak. So when you ask, you know, one of these ChatGPT-like engines to like, hey, I'm interested in a trip. Can you tell me where I should go? What are the options? What's the fun stuff? It lays it all out for you. And then you're like, oh, well, how much would it be for some flights? And can you book those for me? And it uses the plugin from things like Expedia and Kayak to actually be able to do that for you. I mean, again, this is pretty cool stuff. But from a marketer's perspective, we now have to start to look at this as a new kind of channel that over the next year or two, yeah, it's definitely going to evolve, you know, how we reach and engage our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like even just on my personal LinkedIn, outside of when I interact with kind of the internet, I'm always seeing someone like bragging about and touting about their last ChatGPT driven like piece of content, or you know, I ask ChatGPT to explain affiliate marketing to me as if I was 10 and they did a really great job. So it's super interesting to see how more like it will continue to interact with this tech and how more prevalent it will be over the next couple of years. I think though, with AI driven content and ChatGPT, are there any risks you feel we need to be wary of?
Oh, I mean, yeah, a ton. The risks are many, and they are at many different scales. You know, I mean, there's certainly grabbing a lot of the headlines these days is as this, I mean, people are really impressed with the leap in capability that we've seen just in these past 6 months with AI, but it's also clearly evolving very rapidly. And so the expectation that, I don't know what the time frame is, but, you know, not too far off over the next 5 to 10 years, right? You know, these AI engines are going to be smarter than us in a lot of contexts, you know, and what is that going to mean for, you know, a whole bunch of different kinds of jobs and society? So there's definitely some really big questions on the horizon. I think more locally, like here today, you know, we're not yet worried about, you know, Skynet or the Terminator. But even in just in using these tools, we need to be aware that, you know, they're still pretty immature. I would definitely treat these things as your eager but unreliable assistant. So you want to kind of double check their work. You don't want to just take what they say, you know, oh, well, you know, if ChatGPT said this was true, I guess that must be true. No, you need a little skepticism there. If you're using this to generate content, you know, there's certainly questions, you know, still around issues of, you know, copyright, you know, and attributions. Like, is this stuff that it's pulling in? Do you actually have the right to, you know, publish that? You know, so there's sort of a scale of different risks. But again, I think if you're using it primarily as an enabling tool today, not turning your job over to it, or, you know, turning your business over to it, it is manageable, you know, for those risks.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a great piece of advice for our listeners, is essentially to take all ChatGPT generated content and AI driven content with a pinch of salt. You know, you don't know how, not only how accurate it is, but has it already been written by someone else, and do you have the right to use it? I think it's a good way to temper kind of the eagerness and willingness to want to kind of take it and really run with it. So appreciate that. So I think expanding beyond kind of ChatGPT and AI-driven content, what other upcoming MarTech advancements do you think will help shape the future of marketing strategies and practices? And like more broadly, what kind of opportunities and challenges are marketers like us, you think, going to face?
Yeah, I think another big shift that's happening in the industry right now is around the data layer in marketing. And this is maybe a little nerdy and techy, but it's a huge impact for marketers.
Listen, so it's worth digging into it. We're a European-focused company, so we love data and data privacy here.
Okay, excellent. Well, so, I mean, the easiest way to explain this would be, for years, every single marketing technology app, every MarTech app, had its own little database. And so they all lived in these, you know, silos. And when we would talk about integrating MarTech apps, largely what we meant is like, oh, well, we're throwing pieces of data, you know, over the wall from one app to the other, which was fine. You know, but what's happened here over the past 5 years in particular, there's been a shift to like take more of the data in these different apps and be able to bring it down into a universal cloud data warehouse. And originally that was purely from an analytical perspective, like, oh, okay, well, I'll get all the data out of my different apps and then my cloud data warehouse. I can use these cool business intelligence tools to be able to like look at all these interesting patterns that are happening, not just across marketing, but, you know, sales and operations and product, and how does it all fit together? That alone has actually been very exciting. But what is even more exciting is it used to be that was a one-way funnel where data would, you know, filter down from these apps into a cloud data warehouse and then It was only there for analytical purposes. But a whole set of shifts that have been happening in the industry, we don't dive into all of them, but it's basically turning this into a bi-directional data layer, so that not only does data come into the cloud data warehouse from all these different sources, but increasingly you now have the option to take data from that warehouse, manipulate it, combine it together, you know, reformat it, and push it back into your frontline marketing applications. So the reason this is so exciting, you know, to marketing is because in many ways we've been living in a data silo. You know, we've had access to the data with the applications that marketing owns, you know, but if you wanted data from sales or product or operations or customer service, it tended to be like a really heavy lift to be able to get that data. And now that more of it is in the cloud data warehouse and more of our MarTech applications are able to like read and use this data, it's now opening up this whole world where marketers are able to like, yeah, get access to a lot more data to inform like who they're talking to, how they're talking to them, when. And it's happening at the exact moment that, you know, like with third party cookies going away and, you know, this focus becoming increasingly on, okay, if you're going to have data, it really needs to be first party data. Well, this universal data layer now gives us access as marketers to a much broader set of first-party data than we've had before in our siloed world.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting as marketers. But I think for consumers, obviously, we're becoming more concerned with sharing our data and how it's used. And you've just discussed a lot of the really cool, exciting benefits as a marketer on what I can do with this data. But just for any consumer listening that's maybe unfamiliar, are there any benefits to them to make their data more available for us too?
Well, I mean, again, like, you know, the whole like, you know, relationship there, you know, with GDPR and similar, you know, regulations elsewhere in the world, is that ultimately the customer has control over the data. And if they decide like, listen, I don't want you to have my data anymore, I don't want you to use it, you know, they can make those requests and, you know, we honor and respect that. So where it's always come down to, as it should, is it is on us as marketers to deliver enough value to our audience and our customers that they're like, yeah, no, the way in which you're engaging with me works. I'm happy with this. I feel I get value out of that. You know, and so a lot of that comes down to like, you know, are we communicating to them at the right cadence with the right information? Do they find it useful? Do they enjoy it? I mean, it's the same thing like, the super simple version of this has always been, newsletters and, you know, subscriptions to that. Like if you're producing a great newsletter for your audience and they love reading it, great. They'll keep receiving it the moment they decide, yeah, no, this isn't worth my time. This is just kind of becoming junk in my inbox. You know, it's unsubscribe, unsubscribe, unsubscribe. And so, yeah, it just keeps coming back to the marketers again and again. Like you have to prove your value to customers. And what that means is going to depend on your particular business, what your customers expect. But generally speaking, one of the things that doesn't mean is like emailing or communicating or texting or like, you know, assaulting, you know, that audience from like every possible direction, you know, multiple times a day. That is the fastest way for them to decide like, no, this is not valuable. This is a real drag.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you made a good point too earlier where you said with all of this data, marketers can really get the right message to the right person at the right time. And it's equally beneficial and incentivizing for consumers too to then share that data so we can give them better content and give them more of what they're after, not just, you know, with frequency, but also in quality as well. So that's really good advice and a really good point. So shifting gears a little bit, at AWIN, you know, we talk a lot about how there are unlimited partnership and promotional opportunities to grow your e-commerce business with affiliate marketing. And I think that can be particularly overwhelming for those that are newer to the channel or unfamiliar with it. And I think similarly as digital marketers, you know, we've talked about the abundance of MarTech options and tech and tools and resources, and all of that option can be equally overwhelming today. So what advice would you give to someone who's looking to get started and start like navigating this landscape to make some informed decisions?
Yeah, I mean, usually, so I'm, you know, the person responsible for producing that graphic of all these different marketing technologies. And while it's an interesting graphic. I often feel guilty about it from the perspective that, yeah, for most marketers, particularly those who are just getting started, you should not look at this landscape. It is not helpful. Yes, there are thousands and thousands of MarTech apps out there. But the truth is, you know, again, when you're just at the early stages of like, listen, we just need the fundamentals. You know, it really does come down to a handful of applications of we need some sort of system of record like a CRM to just keep track of our contact universe. We have some sort of like email or marketing automation tool for like how we engage and manage that. We have something like a CMS or a DXP for, you know, our web and or mobile experiences. And while there are lots and lots of choices, even just for those core technologies, the truth is, if you're just beginning on this, you know, you're probably safest looking at, you know, like the top five vendors in each. Like each of those categories now has, you know, companies that are, you know, major public companies. They've been doing this for a long time. So if you're just starting out, it's like, I would say, be narrow, focus on just maybe two or three apps that are going to do the, like, 80%, 90% of the core of what you're going to want to do anyway, and go with probably one of the more trusted brands. As you get more mature and as you, you know, understand more of what you want to do, you might change those apps. You might add, you know, things that enhance them or augment them or complement them. There's cool things you can do with breaking them into different parts. But yeah, when you're just getting started, I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, start small.
Keep it simple. For sure. Keep it simple. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great advice and I think very easy to forget. Scott, just so our listeners are aware, the graphic that you mentioned, what is it named or called if anyone wants to look it up?
Oh, the marketing technology landscape.
Great. Thank you so much. So as the industry continues to evolve, what skills and capabilities do you think marketers need to really have success within the realm of MarTech here?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. Marketing, in some ways, I feel like marketing has become an Olympic sport because there are now so many different facets. Like everything, like if we go back 20, 30 years, like all the classic foundational, you know, skills and talents for marketing are as relevant today as they ever were, right? You know, it's trying to, you know, understand an audience. You know, it's how do we develop, you know, compelling messages, creative to deliver those messages. You know, how do we be disciplined in like the management of budget on like channels for delivering that? I mean, all that stuff is as relevant today as it ever was. But on top of that, now we've had to like augment all these things of like, oh, wow, there's all these different touch points and channels now that have multiplied, you know, of how customers want to engage with us. Each one of them, you kind of have to like, you know, understand, you know, what are the dynamics of how do you engage with people in things like Twitter versus LinkedIn versus, you know, Instagram. There's the technology itself, you know, and while you can certainly start simple, which is what we recommend, there's a lot of sophisticated technologies out there that if you have someone in your marketing team who has a little bit more of that marketing operations or marketing technologist skill set, they can really start to bring you into some of these more advanced capabilities. And so I usually like to think that, yeah, it's not like a single marketing role. I mean, maybe if you're just a startup and it's like one person wearing a whole bunch of hats, you know, hey, you do what you need to do. But as you start to work in the context of a larger company, it's very often that you will have some specialization of, okay, I'm a marketing ops person and I really understand this tech stack and the process and the automation and how we leverage the heck out of that, you know, versus there might be someone else who's like from a community side. All right, well, listen, you know, a lot of now how we're winning our audiences is maybe it's our own community. Maybe it's the way we engage with other communities, you know, that are adjacent to ours. And really, yes, someone who is, has the skills for, you know, how they engage with these communities, how they think of it both strategically, but individual interactions in a way that just resonate with people. I mean, it's kind of a wide spectrum. Like, I mean, we know demand generation, you know, has its own specialty, depending on how dependent you're on, things like advertising, the whole world of, you know, creative advertising still has a lot of value out there for a whole bunch of businesses. So yeah, I wouldn't say it's like one profile, but it's kind of a variety of profiles. Where are you passionate about?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, there's a lot of ground to cover and a lot of different avenues that you can go. And so really, what's the need, but also where do your passions lie? Because if you're passionate about it, then leads for more greater success as well. So I do have one question for you, and then I think we'll start to wrap this up. Or two more questions. Do you have a favorite MarTech tool? If there's one you had to pick that, like, I can't live without X, what would it be?
Well, you know, all right. I mean, I work for HubSpot, so it's like a setup there. Like, if I didn't say HubSpot, I think they would come after me. But I mean,
maybe let's take HubSpot out of it. Is there another tool that you find to be really, really valuable with what you do and in your marketing efforts?
You know, it's fascinating. It really like depends on the moment. You know, like what's the job to be done? Because, you know, from a marketer's perspective, we don't want to get distracted about the tools. We don't want to become myopic, you know, on the tool. It's not about the tool. It is about, like, okay, our audience, what are we trying to achieve to engage that audience or deliver value to them? And then it kind of becomes like, okay, well, once I've got that really clear in my sights, it's like, oh, well, what tool is going to be the fastest, best, you know, most efficient, effective way for me to achieve that? So, I mean, like, we're here on this podcast, like, you know, well, what's the tool we're using, you know, to like create this podcast, and do we like it? Is it a great tool? Then, like, awesome. At this exact moment, this is my favorite tool because it's doing a great job of helping me deliver the outcome I was looking for.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. Well, thank you, Scott. That was incredibly insightful and a great conversation. You know, we've obviously covered a lot of ground. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today? Anything else you want to add?
You know, I think it's just one of these things, like marketing technology, and really more broadly marketing, it's just been one of these fields that has been changing so rapidly over the past 10, 20 years. And it doesn't seem like it's slowing down. It actually seems like, boy, it's like accelerating now, particularly with all this AI stuff. And so I guess I would just communicate that, first of all, if you feel overwhelmed sometimes by all this change, I assure you, you are not the only one. Everyone who's doing anything with marketing feels that. I feel that, you know, so you don't have to know it all. But I think given that environment, it's just really important for us as marketers to retain our curiosity. You know, it's not about shiny object syndrome. It's about, like, again, keeping focused on the audience and the customer, the consumer. Like, what are the new things that are changing in the world that are going to change how those customers, consumers, audiences want to engage with us? And that we should be curious and experiment with that and continue to learn and adapt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great place to end it. And this brings us to the end of today's A1 Talks episode. So thank you again, Scott, for joining us. I'm sure our listeners found this discussion really insightful. I definitely did, and helped them gain a better understanding of what MarTech is and how they can successfully ride the MarTech wave. So really appreciate you making the time, and thank you so much again.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
Yeah, happy to have you anytime. So before I sign off my guest hosting duties, though, there are a couple of announcements I want to make. So the first thing is that on June 7th, we officially released the new A1 Report Power 100. For those that aren't familiar, the A1 Report is our annual affiliate marketing research report. Last year, we introduced the industry's and A1's first ever Power 100, 100 of the most innovative and interesting affiliate partners available on our global platform across every market and sector. And for this new 2023 edition, we're following up with the inaugural Power 100 and diving deeper into their success stories so we can use these campaigns as blueprints and inspiration for our own affiliate activity and for our own MarTech efforts. So highly recommend you head over to a1.com/A1report to snag your free copy. Second, if you've enjoyed this episode of A1 Talks, I'd appreciate if you head over to Apple or Spotify and give us a review or rating. You can also subscribe or listen to each of our previous episodes. And if you have any feedback or suggestions for future episodes and content, definitely get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. So you can reach out to me or Rob on LinkedIn. And lastly, A1 Talks will be in the hands of its fearless leader, Rob, again next month when he makes his triumphant return from a paternity leave. Rob's chatting with Benedict Evans, who recently spoke at our Think Tank UK event. Ben is an independent analyst that has spent 20 years analyzing mobile media and technology and has worked in equity research, strategy, consulting, and venture capital. So he's a wide breadth of knowledge, and it will be a really great episode. So thank you again to everyone for joining us today, and goodbye.